Well, today we get to start a five-week sermon series on the book of James in the Bible. It's in the New Testament, and the book of James only mentions Jesus two times. That's it. So it doesn't give us the whole picture of who God is through Jesus. Instead, it's more concerned with putting faith into action. So while it only mentions Jesus twice, what James encourages and teaches are things completely in line with Jesus' concern for people, especially people who are vulnerable and mistreated, as we'll hear today. One of my former teachers talked about James like this. He said, imagine driving on a curvy mountain road. I'm sure many of us have been on a curvy mountain road before. And you look out and you see this absolutely beautiful landscape. Well, the biblical landscape for us would be some of the more central books, kind of like the Gospels, maybe Psalms, maybe creation, when we hear the beginning, God creating the beginning of the world. So that's kind of the biblical landscape. But you don't want to always just be focused out there, because you also got to see what's in front of you. And so he described James like this guardrail book. It has this corrective function in the Bible. So it's speaking to Christians who say they believe, they love Jesus, but it's not really impacting their lives. It's not impacting how they treat other people. So James is this guardrail for us that's going to push us to have a more robust, living, active faith. It's a book that wants to move faith from just being up here, a thinking faith, to faith that's here and here, our hearts and our hands, an active faith. So let's read, and we're just going to start with the first verse of our reading. So from James chapter 1, starting at verse 17. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Now, one scholar points out that this reminds us that God is generous and God is also utterly dependable. There's no shadow or variation of change. God is generous and God is utterly dependable. So any faithful action that we are called to do throughout the rest of the book, any faithful action we're called to do in our lives, it comes from our generous and our utterly dependable God. Let's read the next couple verses. It goes on to say, in fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to speak. No, but isn't that what we typically do in our world? We're quick to speak. Instead, he says, let everyone be quick to listen. I wonder what it would look like if every one of us left here this week and we intentionally tried to be quick to listen. What kind of stories do we come back and share if all of us left and we intentionally tried to be quick to listen just over this next week? So he says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Now, that just doesn't mean that we shouldn't ever be angry. One scholar points out that later in the book of James, James himself gets kind of angry for how people are being mistreated. But it's a warning against a disposition or a temperament that's quick to anger. It's the times when we are so focused on our own way and our own concerns, and we get angry because we're not getting our way, instead of being focused on Jesus' way and Jesus' concerns. And this maybe goes back to Sabbath, how we've been talking about Sabbath the 3 weeks leading up to this, which is about finding rest in God and creating Sabbath moments to be aware of God. Because James is encouraging us to cultivate lives that are quick to listen to others and to God. But as we'll see, James doesn't stop with us just sitting around listening, but he wants us to be brought into a doing faith, an active faith. So let's read the rest of this reading. Verse 21. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. but be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror, for they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The word of the Lord. So James chapter 1 introduces some themes that we're going to be hearing through the rest of the book. But one question this passage raises for us today is, what are we nurturing in our lives and letting grow? What are we nurturing and letting grow in our personal lives? What are we nurturing and letting grow in our community of faith, in our actions with each other, in our focus? What do we nurture and let grow as people a part of our community and our culture? We hear these words of sordidness and rank growth, and I think when we look around at the political landscape, these descriptive words from James, sordidness and rank growth, maybe still speak true. James writes that we are to rid ourselves of all sordidness and rank growth. And I didn't know this before, but one scholar pointed out that the time this was written, the words "rid yourselves" here was an expression that was often used for removing clothes, and sordidness is the same word that's used later in James to talk about dirty clothes. So one image implied then is that our habits of verbal abuse, like when we speak against each other in anger, they are like stained clothes that needs to be washed. We need to treat them, do the laundry, and start again. And I wonder if we could picture the words that we've said or the words that we have heard that have torn down rather than built up, the words spoken in anger or the rash things that we might post online or text in frustration, and kind of imagine them like dirty laundry that need to be thrown into the bin, treated, and washed clean. What would it look like for our lives to be the same? To have the same old stuff that keeps bringing us down or staining our lives, to have that be discarded and washed clean. Another image that James lifts up is that of a patient gardener, as he talks about ridding ourselves of rank growth and welcoming the implanted word of God. Now, you gardeners know how the weeds can just kind of take off in the garden. Years ago, when we were in Pennsylvania, we had a big garden, and we left for vacation and didn't have anybody watch it. And when we came back from vacation, the weeds were as tall as our tomato plants across the entire garden. They were choking out the things we had planted and wanted to grow. And in a sense, that's what James is referring to in our lives. So what weeds need to be cleared out of our lives so that we can more fully cultivate the word of God that's been planted in us? Now, I mentioned we've just come off a three-week series on Sabbath, and that's really been a life-giving shift for me when I've practiced those Sabbath moments. There's plenty of times when I go back into old patterns and don't practice it, but when I've tried those little shifts in focus, moments taken here or there, or special reminders that remind me to be thankful for God, when I've been able to do that, it has truly led to more joy, more hope, more patience than when I don't do that. The rank growth doesn't as easily take root. When we cultivate that word of God in our lives and clear out the weeds, it's not just for us, but it's for the people around us too. James, as we heard today, encourages us to listen for God, tend to God's word, but then moves us to put that word into action for the sake of those who most need God's grace. Our reading today, it ended with James defining what pure religion is. I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I hear people talk about religion, they'll say, I'm not religious. And when they say that, I think what they mean is I don't read my Bible a lot, or I'm not really involved in a church, so I'm not religious. Now, I think James would say it's good for us to hear God's word and be involved in a faith community, but he will not call that religion or being religious. One theologian once called it thin religion, if that's our only understanding of religion, is just coming to church, right? That's thin religion. It doesn't have depth. The religion that James believes we are brought into by Jesus is to care for orphans and widows. At his time, the people who were the most vulnerable, most in need of other people's care. And so I think we can expand that in our own time to think about who is most vulnerable and in need of care. For pure religion, according to James, is for us to care for them in their distress. And then he says to keep oneself unstained by the world. That's true religion. Now, if we look at James and who it was written to, one commentator notes that the beginning of James opens saying that it is written to the tribes in dispersion. What that means is the book of James is written to people who have been scattered from their homeland, people who have been in distress. And it's encouraging these people who've had to leave their homeland, who are scattered to new places, to not be shaped by the new world and culture around them, but to be shaped by God. In line with James' encouragement for us to live an active faith, one thing that we're planning to do at our church next summer is we're hoping to take some students and also some adults on a service trip. We're finalizing details, but we're planning to work with a ministry that explores homelessness and affordable housing, in addition to challenges for refugees and the political tensions that are at the border. These are deep concerns and issues, but religion before God that is pure is this: to care for those who are most vulnerable in our world. So we want to seek to live that out in a real way. And yet there are also more than enough opportunities right here to do that. Who in our own midst, who in our own communities are forgotten, are more vulnerable? Are there opportunities that we might have out there to help students or children or older adults who are alone and need connection, who maybe can't get out of their home as much as they once did, or who are in the nursing home? We're seeking to ramp up our visitation ministry, and Pastor Eric's going to be leading a training later in the fall to do that, to try to build those connections and offer that support where it's needed. One of my former teachers, David Lose, once wrote about why he found James so appealing. And he said one reason is that it reminds us that faithfulness doesn't need to be heroic. Faithfulness doesn't need to be heroic, but here he points out it's quick to listen, being slow to anger, caring for those who are in distress. Everyday faithful things we get to do with Jesus. So this week, may we practice doing the things that keep us aware of Jesus, and then practice living out that faith. As we think about these words from James, I want to invite you to do something right now. I want you to think of a name or names as I ask some questions, and maybe put those in your phone, the names or the name. Maybe write it on a slip of paper and put it in your pocket, or just keep these names in your mind. So right now I want you to think about, who is someone who needs you to listen to them this week? What name or names comes to mind? Who is a person who might need you to be quick to listen to them rather than be quick to speak? Who is somebody who needs your patience this week rather than your quick anger? And who is someone or a group of someone's who are in distress and need your care? Maybe you have names coming to mind right now. Maybe you need to take 5-10 minutes later today and reread these words from James and think about that. By the Holy Spirit's power, may we take these words to heart and live them more fully. knowing that any good we do or any good we experience, it truly comes from our generous and utterly dependable God.